Right, our topic today is God's desire for us. And I started with the Westminster Catechism, which is part of the good words of the Anglican Church, which say, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I like that. Worship God in this life, party with him in the next. I can go with that. The Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:5, says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Jesus, in Matthew 22:37, quotes the same, so we can be sure that it is a good thing. It's in the Old Testament, Jesus qualifies it, and he adds into that, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself. And just before he goes back into heaven, he says to his disciples and to us, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. So, I've brought all of that together to our purpose is to be worshippers and storytellers. Now, I've had taken the liberty of putting the love of neighbour in with the bit of storytelling, because I believe that telling the story of Jesus is how we love our neighbour. We do it in our lifestyle, we do it in our words. So what does it mean to worship God with everything we are and have? How can we do this? When we meet together, we pray, sing, read the Bible, reflect. This is what we might expect worship to be. However, Les reminded us recently in one of our TAG preaching sessions that worship is lifestyle, not an occasional event. Perspective is everything. And now some artists use perspective in an unusual way to make you look at what they've painted or photographed. But perspective is everything. If we look at God through the wrong lenses, the Christian life will seem difficult and miserable. But we have a fallen world and our fallen selves to contend with. So how do we help ourselves and others to say no to the self-life and allow the Jesus life to grow in us? So one of the things we reflected on recently in our TAG preaching was gratitude. And gratitude is a good lens to look through. So how might we do this? How might we build that the attitude of gratitude that helps to nullify the other voices in our heads and things that come at us? You know, all the adverts that tell us we're worth it. So, two illustrations that may be helpful. When myself and my contemporaries went out to work, a lot of parents at that time asked for the pay packet when it came on Friday. And you handed it over to your parents. And your parents asked you what you might need in the week. If you're a young woman, stockings or tights, as it came to be. When they started joining them together. And we have Mary Quant to thank for tights, which is really good. Because of the short skirt, you needed tights rather than stockings. Anyway, that's an aside. You might want to bleep that one out, actually, now that I think about it. Okay. So, your parents said to you, well, what do you need? You said, well, I've got my bus fare, my train fare. I might need to get a pair of shoes repaired or a new pair. And they added that all together and gave you what they thought was right and good and kept the rest. Now, some parents would have put some of that money into a savings account against the day of marriage or buying a flat or maybe going into some kind of further education. And actually, some people thought that was a bit unreasonable. You might be thinking that's unreasonable, although you might be of an age that you think, well, that's okay. But if you've had 15 years of free laundry, free food, free roof over your head, actually, that's not unreasonable. Now, I was one of the people that I negotiated with my parents about what would be an appropriate amount, and they agreed, and that's what I gave them. But God is not like that. That seems like that's good earthly wisdom, but God isn't like that with us. That he doesn't take everything and give us back a pittance. Now, I'm going to use an illustration now from a children's series, and there is a bit of a New Age thing in it, but please hang with me in it, because there is a good point in it. There used to be a children's series on the telly called Legends of Chima. And I actually quite like it for lots of reasons, but I'm not going to tell you now. In this imaginary land called Chima, there were different creature species. They were a bit like sort of Narnia animals in that they could speak. And each species type had a leader. The whole realm was ruled over by the lions. Each month, the leader of each species came to collect their quota of a power called chi, and it was this chi that kept the land happening. And this power was to do tasks, and particularly difficult tasks. So, and it was lodged in crystals. And when the king or his son gave the consignment of chi to each leader species, he said these amazing words. He said, "Use it well, use it wisely." And now those words actually kind of really lodged in whatever filing cabinet I put these things in my mind. And I thought, what amazing words in a children's program. And the thing is, each thing that we have, the breath that we breathe, the gifts, whatever, they're all from God. And all he says to us is, you can choose what to do with this. So, if we take each day, and the Bible says that each new day is a new blessing from God. His faithfulness and everything is new to us every day. So when we wake up in the morning, and we might be the sort of person who doesn't like getting up in the morning, and it's, oh, it's raining, or it's windy, and oh, there's so many things I've got to do. But actually, when we wake up, it's like there's a little note pinned to our pillow. And it says, this day is my gift to you. Use it well. Use it wisely. Doesn't that make it worth getting up? Our money. If we work, we're blessed with work. That's a blessing from God. My pension. Even if we're on benefits, bene, benedicite, the root meaning of benefit is a blessing. And every one of those things. Now, we are blessed that we still have in this country the idea that you should help people financially if they're in difficulties. Now, okay, the benefit system is a mess like everything else, but it still exists. And I, for one, am very pleased that it does. So our money, that it comes with a note from God, and it says, use it well, use it wisely, love from God. Our possessions, strength, qualifications, the very air we breathe. Our next breath comes to us from God, and he says, use it well, use it wisely, love from God. So actually, to go and call out someone and swear at them probably wasn't a good or wise use of that breath. But hey, that's part of who we are, and sometimes we get it wrong. So when we recognise that all these things are these gifts from God to be used according to how the Bible says and summing it up, use it well, use it wisely, then actually it is much easier to be grateful. It's much easier when we have the right perspective about life. And the fact that God lets us choose, I think that's amazing. So, when we give with an attitude of gratitude for what we've received, we are worshipping. That's when our hearts are warm towards God, because we recognise what he's done for us. When we help someone go the extra mile, smile at the checkout cashier, this is worshipping with heart, soul, mind and strength. So, being worshippers, this is not an onerous thing. And Jesus actually says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And it's to do with how we look, the glasses that we look at the world around us through. So we're to be worshippers. We're to be storytellers. We come back to the importance of perspective. Knowing that we fit into God's big picture is part of our perspective. Now, in or around 1942, there was a song sung by an entertainer called Gracie Fields. It was a bit of propaganda and reflected on a young girl working in a factory. And it went something like this. Oh, this is part of it. I'm not telling you the whole lot, okay? I'm the girl that makes the thing, that drills the hole, that holds the ring. See, some of you know it. That drives the rod, that turns the knob, that works the thingamy bob. Okay, what this is, it's perspective of where you fit into something. And the punchline of that song is that this was going to at least shorten or possibly end war. And so this girl is working in a factory. She's making something over and over again. It's boring. I mean, in a good factory, they would obviously move people round. But she was making this thing all day. And that song, if that was... And she would have been listening to the wireless, because that's what it was in those days. And that song may well have stayed with her. And she knew that she was part of something big. She wouldn't have known exactly, because it's the thingamabob, and that's official secrets, thingamabobs. My dad made thingamabobs in the war. One time he did actually come home with a blueprint, not in the war, this is when I was born. I'm not that old. And he told me that this was for making the starter motor of an aeroplane that took off without a runway. And it was the Harrier. So I actually got a sneak view of the starter motor for the Harrier, which was... He's not alive now, so if anyone's listening to this and thinks they're going to get me on the official secrets, too late. Okay. So... it's really important that we understand that we're part of something big. The church, like, this is not us in total, the church. You know, it's not a Tupney Apeny project. The church is every person, every event from the day of Pentecost right up to this moment, all around the world. We are part of that. So, God the Father sent Jesus to rescue the cosmos in the power of the Holy Spirit. And our story is part of that big story. Now, if we have problems seeing God from the true perspective, how much more those who have yet to know him? Now, I know someone who's a street pastor, and he often reflects on some of the encounters that he has out on the streets. And people bend his ear about this awful God who, you know, how can God love everybody? Oh, all these terrible things are happening in the world. Blah, 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 blah. And his response to that is to ask them, okay, tell me about this God that you don't believe in. Okay. So then they start telling him what they think. And his response to that, as he reflects back to them, he says, well, I don't know that one either. And it's not really one I very much like. Can I tell you about my story? And he will tell, if they're willing to listen, a little bit of his journey to faith. And he actually became a Christian, I think. Well, I don't know if he was brought up in a Christian home, but certainly he did national service. And he said that was, you had to decide ahead of the game that you really were going to lay it on the line amongst a load of guys in a barrack. If you were going to sit, he said he made a point that he would read his Bible. And he did get a load of stick and get bullied. But he'd made up his mind that that's what he was going to do. And at the end of it, there was a grudging respect for him and for the fact that he was, you know, straight up in everything that he did and truthful, didn't try and get out of doing his chores and that kind of thing. So being part of a big story is really important, and understanding that we fit into this humongous plan that God has that encompasses the entire cosmos. It's not even just us in Eastbourne, in Britain, the world. It's the cosmos, because the whole cosmos is fallen. And Jesus is restoring it all. So when we smile and say good morning to a stranger, I mean, when I come through the park to come here on a Sunday morning, I pass lots of really grumpy looking people. Some of them are walking their dog. And obviously, you know, if you have a dog, you've really got to deal with the things that go in one end and come out the other. And actually, to smile at them all and say, good morning. And they're like, oh, good morning. You know, kind of like, oh yeah, I suppose it is all right. So when we say good morning to a stranger, when we give medical help, food, socks to the street homeless, when we grow vegetables on the allotment, we are changing the perspective of the people we interact with. And that's the whole thing. The changing of perspective is what we want to do. And it's how they might then begin to see God. It may be that at some point when we've earned the privilege of telling them about Jesus and what he's done in our lives, we may change their perspective even more. All of us come to faith, even if we're brought up in the most amazing Christian home ever. We will come to faith with faulty perspective. And sometimes the church can give you some faulty perspective as well. But hey, and the Christian life is a journey of continued revelation that encourages our life of worship. It's also a journey where we invite others to come with us that they too might become worshippers and storytellers, because that is our purpose. We are to be worshippers and storytellers. Okay, I don't have any anything that sort of resonated with you. Hold that, go and ask God about it, and let's do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that actually what you call us to do is not terribly difficult. We make it difficult. We may put the fact that we can't worship unless we've got a degree in theology, or we can't, unless we're called to be evangelists, we can't tell others about you and what you've done for us. Actually, it's really easy, that we're to be grateful for every breath that we take. We're to worship you with our lives, and we're to tell others what you have done for us. And when we do that, then we change the perspective in our own lives, and we change the perspective of others around us. So, Father, help us, we pray, in this week to come, to consciously be those who worship and those who tell the story. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.